Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Ed Donahue. The Trump administration is officially restricting the number of refugees admitted annually into the U.S.
to 7,500 people, and they will mostly be white South Africans. That's a dramatic drop after the United States previously allowed 125,000 people fleeing war and persecution from around the world in a program that received bipartisan support on Capitol Hill. The notice, now published in the National Registry, says that the new cap of 7,500 for the 2026 fiscal year was justified by humanitarian concerns or is otherwise in the national interest. In February, Trump announced stepped-up efforts to allow in white South Africans, saying that they face discrimination and violence, something that the South African government denies. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
A ban is in place, but President Trump is talking about resuming testing of nuclear weapons for the first time in three decades.
To do with others, they seem to all be nuclear testing. We have more nuclear weapons than anybody. We don't do testing. We've halted it many years ago.
The Kremlin pointed out a global ban on nuclear tests has remained in place, but warned if any country resumes nuclear testing, Russia will follow suit. There was no indication the U.S. would start detonating warheads. The president offered few details. The Senate has passed a resolution that would undo many of President Trump's tariffs around the globe. The latest note of displeasure at his trade tactics in Washington that came just as the president celebrated his negotiations with China as a success. Authorities in Paris have tightened the dragnet around the thieves at the Louvre, arresting five more people in connection with the recent crown jewel heist. The Paris prosecutor said three of the four alleged members of the commando team are now in custody. More information at apnews.com. This is AP News. A Sudanese paramilitary force is on the offensive.
Aid workers worried on Thursday that only a trickle of the people believed to have fled a paramilitary force that seized a city in Sudan's Darfur region have reached safety. People have been arriving at the neighbouring town of Tawila after they fled on foot during the attack on El Fasher by the rapid support forces. It's been reported that hundreds have been killed in the attack while making their escape. The RSF, as they're known, have been fighting troops allied to Sudan's military since 2023. Mother Aisha Ismail told the AP that shelling was happening all the time in El Fasher. She also said that they were being hit with rifle butts all day long unless they hid. When she finally managed to escape with her family, they were looted and she arrived barefoot after even her shoes were taken. The UN Migration Agency estimates that over 26,000 people managed to flee the city. I'm Karen Shemas.
I'm Ed Donahue, AP News.
On Tuesday, U.S. District Judge Sarah Ellis ordered U.S. Customs and Border Patrol Chief Patrol Agent Gregory Bovino to give her daily briefings on immigration operations being conducted in Chicago, an unprecedented bid to impose real-time oversight on the Trump administration's immigration crackdown. But before Bovino's first meeting with Ellis Wednesday, the 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals stepped in and blocked her order. The legal action comes after weeks of confrontations and increasingly aggressive tactics by government agents working Operation Midway Blitz. The Department of Homeland Security called Ellis's order judicial overreach. The sweeps have resulted in more than 1,800 arrests and complaints of excessive force. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth says U.S. forces have killed four people in a strike against a boat he alleges was carrying drugs in the eastern Pacific Ocean. It's the 14th strike of a military campaign that began in September in the waters off South America. In a social media post, Hegseth asserts intelligence determined the vessel was transiting along a known narco-trafficking route and carrying narcotics. He adds it was in international waters and no U.S. forces were harmed. A video posted by Hegseth shows a boat exploding into flames and smoke. The death toll in the campaign has grown to at least 61. The Trump administration has shown no evidence to support its claims about the boats struck or their connection to drug cartels. Ben Thomas, Washington.
The Federal Reserve has cut its key interest rate for a second straight time as the government shutdown clouds the economic outlook. The quarter percentage point drop comes amid sluggish hiring and stubbornly elevated inflation. That's a complicated enough equation for the Fed, but then there's the shutdown, leaving the central bank without key economic data it typically relies on. While the Fed had signaled it might reduce the rate again in December,
a further reduction in the policy rate at the December meeting is not a foregone conclusion. Far from it.
Chair Jerome Powell compares it to driving in fog.
I'm not committing to that. I'm just saying it's certainly a possibility that you would say, we really can't see, so let's slow down.
Acknowledging the limited data could make some Fed officials more cautious about their next move. Sagar Magani, Washington.
In a poll conducted by the Associated Press and the NORC Center for Public Affairs Research, about 4 in 10 adults say they're concerned about political violence directed at conservatives or liberals, but mostly about violence against their own party. About half of adults 60 and older say they're extremely or very concerned about threats to free speech. Only about a quarter of adults under 30 feel that way. About half of Americans say they see a major threat to freedom of speech, and 4 in 10 see a major threat to freedom of the press. About 3 in 10 say there are significant threats to the right to vote and the right to keep and bear arms. Donna Water, Washington.
In Illinois, Sean Grayson, the former Sangamon County Sheriff's deputy who fatally shot Sonia Massey, has been convicted of second-degree murder in a case that raised new questions about police shootings of black people. Grayson's set to be sentenced January 29th and could receive anything from probation to 20 years in prison. Grayson and another deputy arrived at Massey's home in Springfield, Illinois, early on July 6, 2024, after she called 911 and reported seeing a prowler.
I heard somebody outside.
Body camera footage was a key part of the prosecutor's case. Grayson testified that Massey was acting erratically and he was afraid she was going to scald him with a pot of boiling water. Grayson was fired after his indictment. The sheriff who hired him retired, and Massey's family settled a lawsuit against the county for $10 million. The case also prompted a change in Illinois law requiring more transparency on the background of law enforcement job candidates. I'm Jennifer King.
Two Russian mobsters get 25 years in prison for hiring a hitman to try and assassinate Iranian-American journalist Masih Alinejad at her Brooklyn, New York home. Prosecutors say Iranian officials tried to harass, smear, and silence Alinejad for exposing corruption. When that did not work, Iran offered $500,000 in July of 2022 to attempt to kill her. That's where the two Russian mobsters came into the picture. Prosecutors say the plot came chillingly near success, interrupted only by the luck that Alinejad was out of town while the hired gunman tried to locate her, and because of the diligence and tenacity of American law enforcement, which detected and disrupted the plot in time. Julie Walker, New York.
After more than four decades behind bars, Subramaniam Vaidam was finally set to walk free from a Pennsylvania prison this month. He'd been cleared in the 1980 killing of his friend, but now he faces another legal fight. Vaidam is in federal custody over a 1999 deportation order. The Trump administration plans to act on that order because of a drug conviction from the 1980s. Vaidam's lawyers say the years he wrongfully spent in prison should outweigh that. They've asked the Board of Immigration Appeals to reopen the case. His older sister, Sarasvati Vaidam, described her brother, who also goes by Subbu, as a calm and patient person.
He, more than anybody else, knows that sometimes things don't make sense. You have to just stay the course and keep hoping that truth and justice and compassion and kindness will win.
Vaidam is now 64. He legally came to the U.S. at 9 months old, so his father could teach at Penn State University. Behind bars, he earned several degrees and tutored hundreds of fellow inmates. He remains at a U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement facility in central Pennsylvania. I'm Marcela Sanchez.
I'm Damian Troisi, and this is the AP Markets Report. Stocks wavered to a mixed close on Wall Street Wednesday. The S&P 500 finished virtually flat. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 0.2%. The NASDAQ Composite rose 0.5%. All three indexes were coming off all-time highs. Wall Street was on track for modest gains following the Federal Reserve's decision to cut its main interest rate for the second time this year. But the gains mostly reversed after Fed Chair Jerome Powell later warned that a cut in December is not a foregone conclusion. Damian Troisi, New York.
AP Sports, I'm Gethin Coolbaugh. Toronto's Davis Schneider and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hit back-to-back homers to lead off the game for the first time in World Series history, and the Blue Jays beat the Dodgers 6-1 in Game 5 to claim a 3-2 series lead. Toronto starter Trey Yesavage struck out a Fall Classic rookie record 12 over 7 innings of one-run ball.
It was massive. Those guys set the tone, put us in control early, and we didn't lose that.
The Twins hired Derek Shelton as their new manager. NBA Austin Reaves had 28 points and 16 assists and made a buzzer-beating floater to help the Lakers hold off the Timberwolves 116-115. Miami guard Terry Rozier and Portland coach Chauncey Billups will not receive their salaries while on leave in gambling cases, and the Lions signed Pro Bowl edge rusher Aiden Hutchinson to a contract extension through 2030. Brad Marchand has stepped away from the Florida Panthers to help a friend whose daughter died of cancer last week. Marchand served as a guest coach Wednesday night for the under-18 Marchand Milko Hunters in his hometown of Halifax, Nova Scotia, in place of friend J.P. McCallum. The game is a fundraiser for the family after the loss of 10-year-old Sela Panache McCallum. It included a raffle for an autographed Marchand jersey. Marchand missed Florida's game Tuesday against Anaheim. Coach Paul Maurice expects Marchand to return Saturday against Dallas. I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
People across the Northern Caribbean are digging out from the destruction caused by Hurricane Melissa as deaths from the storm have climbed. Emergency relief flights began landing at Jamaica's main international airport as crews worked to reach communities still isolated after they were directly hit by the Category 5 storm. Dennis Sulu, the UN resident coordinator in Jamaica, said,
"What we are seeing in preliminary assessments is a country that's been devastated to levels never seen before."
Catastrophic flooding occurred in Haiti, where dozens were dead or missing. Eastern Cuba had blown off roofs, downed power lines and crop damage. Hurricane conditions were forecast to continue in the Bahamas into the morning and were expected to affect Bermuda later on Thursday as the storm passes. Five more people have been arrested in the investigation into the theft of crown jewels from the Louvre Museum, but the treasures remain missing. Crowds of visitors lined up outside the museum in Paris on Thursday as a local prosecutor announced five more arrests in the investigation into the dramatic theft of crown jewels. The five were detained late on Wednesday night in separate police operations in Paris and surrounding areas. The prosecutor did not release their identities or other details. One is suspected of being part of the four-person team that robbed the Louvre's Apollo Gallery in broad daylight on the 19th of October, according to the prosecutor. Two other members of the team were arrested on Sunday and given preliminary charges of criminal conspiracy and theft committed by an organized gang. Both partially admitted their involvement, according to the prosecutor. It took the thieves less than 8 minutes to steal the jewels, valued at $102 million, shocking the world. I'm Karen Shamas.
President Vladimir Putin says Russia has conducted a successful test of a new atomic-powered and nuclear-capable underwater drone, declaring that the new weapon can't be intercepted. Putin's statement on Wednesday comes 3 days after he praised a successful test of a new nuclear-powered cruise missile. It appears to be another message to President Donald Trump that Russia's standing firm in its maximalist demands for Ukraine. Putin adds the Poseidon drone was successfully tested while running on nuclear power for the first time on Tuesday, describing it as a huge success. He declares that Poseidon's unmatched in its speed and depth, and there's no way to intercept it. North Korea's official Korean Central News Agency says its Cetus surface missiles flew for more than 2 hours before accurately striking targets in its western waters, adding the weapons would contribute to expanding the operational sphere of the country's nuclear-armed military. The missile firings come as President Donald Trump visits South Korea. Trump has expressed interest in meeting North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, but acknowledges challenges in arranging a meeting. North Korea has not responded to Trump's outreach, as it has avoided talks since nuclear diplomacy fell apart in 2019. Trump's in South Korea for talks ahead of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit. Teachers at 9 high schools in northeastern Australia discovered days before an ancient history exam that they had mistakenly taught their students about the wrong Roman ruler, Augustus Caesar, instead of his predecessor, Julius Caesar. The students in Queensland ended up being exempt from a statewide exam, while the education minister said he would investigate the mix-up, describing the experience for the students as extremely traumatic. Since the error in the curriculum was discovered on Monday, schools applied and were granted an exemption from the exam for the students. Students say that there's no way they could learn a whole semester's work in a couple of days. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.